Right, Chev, in a few minutes, we're going to say the keenness of the Baba Rabbi Schus Gilenu and Rav Shimon Schwab Zecher Tzadik Livracha, and then a late Sion. Okay, so let's go back 10 minutes ago to what Rabbi Levin was saying. To imagine ourselves entering into a different dimension of reality or unreality. This world that we're about to descend into, of the Baba Rabbi, of this keenness, of Schwab, and the Rabbi lived through it. This world that we're about to enter into can't really be described, and there's no imagination that could somehow paint a picture of that which was a relatively short time ago. Those who lived through it, those who didn't live through it, but were there, have said over and over and over again that all of the attempts that we make, all of the efforts that we make to imagine are futile. I was thinking that if we could use a term, just to borrow from the Kinas, from Tehillim, from Yirmiyahu, we would call that world that we're about to enter into Bor Tachtiyos. Not to translate Bor Tachtiyos, those are the words of Yirmiyahu Hanavi and Eicha, Bor Tachtiyos, the lowest, lowest pit, the lowest pit imaginable. Yirmiyahu Hanavi experienced that. Not the Holocaust, he lived through was terrible. What he envisioned also, he imagined. But we do know that he himself was thrown into a bar. Perek Lamed Zayin, Ve'yiktzuv Asarim al Yirmiyahu. He was thrown into a pit, into a jail, a prison, not by Gentiles, not by Goyim, but by his fellow Jews. You know that there are people nowadays who are trying to silence other people from speaking, even in a democracy like America, to silence people. Lahavdil, it's very, very different. I'm not talking about, but we know even in our times, we're seeing this now. There were many Jews around the court at Tzidkiyahu who wanted to silence Yirmiyahu. They did not want his word getting out. Biyiktzu asar mal Yirmiyahu, they were angry. Vihiku oisai, he was beaten. Can you imagine such a thing? Vinosnu oisai beis ha'esor, he was thrown into prison. Beis Yehoinis and Hasaifer. Ki oiso osu lebeis ha'kela. They took this place of, this home of Yehoinis and Hasaifer, and they made it into a prison. Ki vo yimyo al beis habor. In this house, they dug a deep, deep, deep pit, a hole. And that's what they threw Yirmiyahu Hanavi. Next parak. Vayichus Yirmiyahu v'ashlichu oisai el habor. It's going into greater detail about how they actually physically took Yirmiyahu Hanavi and v'ashlichu oisai el habor, and they threw him into the pit. Ubabor ein mayim. Sounds familiar, right? Ubabor ein mayim ki imtit. Schmutz, filth. It was disgusting. It was filthy. Vayidba Yirmiyahu betit, and Yirmiyahu was drowning in the schmutz, in the mud, in this pit that they threw him into. In Eicha, the same Navi in Eicha, he screams out, "Karosi Shimcha Hashem Mibur Tachtiyos," but it comes to life now. Of course, Yirmiyahu was thinking about all Boris. But he himself, Karasi Shimcha Hashem Mibor Tachtiyos. Kaili Shamata. In the past, the Navi says, in the past, Hashem, you listened to me. I know that you listened to me in the past. Al Talem Oznuchol Rav Chosi L'Shavosi. Sounds familiar also, right? When? A Shofar blues. Al Talem Oznuchol Rav Chosi L'Shavosi. So Baruch Shalom, don't hide your ears. Don't keep your ears from hearing my crying. From this bor tachtiyos. We find also in the third parak of Eicha there, Soid saduni ketzipor oyvai chinam. My enemies have hunted me down like a bird. Tzomsu babor chayoi, and they have locked me up in a bor, in a pit. We find in a number of places in Tanakh that the grave, the kever, is described as a pit, as a bor. Or conversely, a bor, where people were held as prisoners, is described as a kever, as a grave. Tehillim Peches, Nechshavti im Yardei Bor. B'meisim chofshi k'mo chalolim shoichvei kever. I am with the dead, apart from the world, amongst other corpses. That's how David HaMelech was describing his life. Yardei bor, shoichvei kever. Then one that's the most familiar to us, we say every single day of our lives. Hashem ha'elisa min sha'ol nafshi chisayni miyardei bor. In some siddurim it's with the comets, in Novi it's with the Pasach. David HaMelech says, Hashem ha'elisa min sha'ol nafshi. Rabbi Shalom, you have lifted me up from hell, min sha'ol nafshi, from the depths. Chisani miyardei bor. You have given me life from those who were thrown, who were descended into the bor, into the grave. In the Kina of Rav Schwab, on page 394 in the paperback, in this art scroll, in the Kina it says, he's describing the tumult that was going on when Jews were taken away, the hunger, the insanity, the frenzy, the sorrow, and so on, the pillars of smoke, the fumes from the furnace. And then Ukritzas, on page 394, like 12 lines, 13 lines down, Ukritzas etzbos. My mother often has spoken about this. The finger motions of the savage officers, Shalroi Sheha'proiz, Limin Shibud Perach, Samoves L'smol, to the right, slave labor. To the left, the shadow of death. Can anybody ever describe, to imagine what that was like, to see Mengele's face? My mother has described it to me. To the left, the shadow of death. Ve'ech yoru yurios al choyfrei haboyres. Remember. Remember, Hashem, remember. And all of us have to remember how the sharpshooters, Yoru Yurios, how the sharpshooters shot at those digging their own graves. Choyfei habaris, biyesurei chibut kever hayridum sha'ol. Lowering them to the depths and the agony of the grave. Which you know that many of them were not even dead at that point. My father was home, spent some time under other bodies because he wasn't killed. And that sometimes they would see for hours, even for more than a day. They would see the earth going up and down, heaving. People were trying to get out. People were still breathing. But the Choyfei HaBoyers, this Metzias of Bor Tachtios that the Navi uses to describe his own personal predicament, his own personal misery, and the misery of the Jewish people in Golis. Rav Kook writes about this in the Ein Ayah, in the Sugya of Shabbos, in Shabbos, the Sugya of Chanukah. Well, that's we heard, Borek Ein Bomayim, right? So Rav Kook writes over there in the Ein Ayah, in the Chiddush HaGodes, HaGolus Nikreis B'Shem Bor. It's a long piece, it's Kedai, if you have a chance to look. HaGolus Nikreis B'Shem Bor. Rav Kook says that we see that Golus B'Chlal, Golus is described in Tanakh, in Chazal, Golus is Nikreis B'Shem Bor. But Rav Kook says one cannot describe the bor of Golus just as a bor without water. Just as by Yosef HaTzadik, who was thrown into the bor, va'bor reik. So Rashi brings down Ein Bomayim, what the Chazal say there in the Gemara, Ein Bomayim, but Nechoshim Vakrabim Yeshbo. It was filled with snakes and with scorpions. So Rav Kook says that the boar of Golus is not just a boar without water, but like Yosef HaTzadik, it's Molei Nechoshim Vakrabim. It's filled with snakes and scorpions. And he says, Zosia, I'm skipping paragraphs. Zoisi haklola, and this is the curse of the Teichacha, ubagoyim ahem lo sargia, lo targia. That in Golus we're going to live amongst the goyim, we're going to live amongst the nations, and we will not find any peace, any tranquility. Now, the first Jew that we're told was thrown into a bor is the one that we've been referring to, who was the first Jew that was sent to Golus. And that's Yosef HaTzadik. And in at least two places that I know of in Chazal, I'm sure if you Google it, it's in more places, but at least two places in Chazal, the Chachamim compare the life of Yosef HaTzadik to the life of Yerushalayim, to Yerushalayim. In two places that I know. And it's a long list of comparisons just to bring out the Nekuda. Chazal say, Kol Mashi Iril Yosef Iril Itzion. Now Yosef is the Gematria Itzion. And also Yosef is the Mida of Yisoid, which is Tzion. Tzadig Yisoid Olam. That whatever happened to Yosef HaTzadik happened to Yerushalayim, to Tzion. There's a long list. V'Yisrael Ohavis Yosef, beginning from the good times. That Yaakovin was father, it says V'Yisrael Ohavis Yosef. And it says in Pasuk, Ohev Hashem Sharei Tzion. Just as Yosef is beloved by his father, by his father, Yerushalayim is beloved by Hashem. Ohev Hashem Sharei Tzion. VaYosifu Od Sno. So just like Yosef was despised, was hated by his brothers, Nosna Laiba Kailal Kains Nasiya, Yerushalayim is hated and despised by the enemies of Hashem, by the enemies of the Jewish people. And finally, BeYosef it says, VaYashlichu Oisoi HaBoira. And Yosef was thrown into the pit. And by Yushalayim, Tzomsu Yirmiyahu says, in Eicha, Tzomsu Babur Chayai. That my entire existence, meaning Yushalayim, Tzion, is one of Golas. My children have been sent out and are in the kever, in the bar of Jewish history. So what happened to Yosef HaTzadik Vayishlichu Oisai HaBoira is the story of the Jewish people throughout all of time. And then ultimately, with the words that we just read from Rav Schwab's Kina, where there were Jews who had to dig their own boiras, the Chayfei HaBoiras were the Jews themselves, who had to dig their own graves. So a few months ago, my children, Yudaya and Shifi, sent me that there's a song that I have to listen to. And I trust they have good taste. They married each other, they have good taste. And this song has made me, I mean, I was already Meshuggah, but more Meshuggah. I can't say that the tune is exactly my style, which is like 1966 type, 70s. You know, I can't say. But there's something there. And after tomorrow Chatzos, if you have a chance, listen to it. The composer is a Tyre Yid. I heard a little bit about him. He's a Yid, a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. You have many of these Israeli musicians now that they're doing tshuva, and they're turning the whole world around. They somehow all end up in Uman, you know. But these guys are amazing. So this one's name is Hanan Ben Ari. And he has this song. For a second, I thought maybe I did. I remember 10 years ago I played a niggun. I got in trouble. Boy, I had to spend. Yeah, no, I'm not going to do it again. Okay, so the song goes as follows. I'm going to read it with the Israeli Havara, even though I'm an Ashkenazi, because that's how he sings it. Kol achad megurash megen Eden. Kol achad megurash megen Eden. Every person in his life is kicked out of Gan Eden. Kol achad over mabul. Everybody in his life has to go through the flood. A flood, a mabul. L'kol achad yesh eze hevel shehu mekaneh bo ad mavet. Every person has in his life somebody who he's so jealous of. He has a hevel in his life, like Cain was jealous of. Mekaneh bo ad mavet. He's jealous of ad mavet. You know what that means. U'b'chol achad migdal shel merid u'bilbul. Everybody has in his life, in his head, a migdal bovel, a migdal shel mered, a migdal, a tower of mered, of rebelliousness, and bilbul, bovel, bilbul, confusion. Kol adam holech lo mi beit abba. Everybody, he's going in order of chumash. Everybody like Avraham Avinu, kol adam holech lo mi beit abba. At some point, he has to leave his father's house. Kol achad kim'at okeid et bino. Every father almost kills his son. Kim'at okeid et bino. Okeid, you could say, ties him up. All right, so we don't have to say kill. Kol achad kim'at okeid et bino. Kim'at. Amok bifnim yesh dom k'tana shurak rotze limchok kfar. Each one of us has inside of us a miniature city of stone that we would like to just get rid of. Limchok kvar. V'yesh malachim shem yimutu oto. And there are angels inside of us who are prepared and would like to help us escape from that stone inside of us. And then starts the refrain of the song, where this Hanan ben Ari lets loose something into the world. You know how it goes? Who knows? You know how it goes. No? V'gam? V'gam ani cholem kemo Yosef. V'gam oti zaku labor. And I also have dreams like Yosef. I also wanted to be a tzaddik. But things didn't go the way I planned. Now I was also thrown into a bar, into a pit. Doesn't mean by your brothers necessarily, although you might have that too. I also got thrown into the pits, into a pit, into a hole, with all of my chalaimis. Gam ani cholem kemo Yosef, v'gam oti zaku labor, v'gam chozer b'toch tachposet, and I climb out wearing a disguise. Tachposet. And then the words that he ends the refrain with. No, who knows? Uchmo David, ani osem mizem mizmor. But like David, I tried to make all of this into a song. Ukmo David, ani osem mizem mizmor. So we're at the end, with the end of Kinas. We're about to enter into the Bor Tachtiyos. Of the Maaseh from 1939 to 1945. And then we're going to stand up, and it's going to be Nachatzais, Mitzvah Shah, in the beginning of the Nechama. And each one of us can certainly say the words, V'gam ani cholem kemo Yosef. And each one could also say, V'gamoti zaku labor. How that happened with each one of us, in what way? V'gamoti zaku labor. Now, how do you get out? How do you survive? How do you get out of the bor? Bor tachtiyos. Chisani miyardi bor. How do you get out of the bor tachtiyos? So, not only do I recommend that song, but I recommend a remarkable sefer. I'm sure that many of you already have it. The Ramchal wrote many, many svarim. There are some Jews who only saw Mesil Sesharim. And usually they didn't get to the last parak. Because if you get to the last parak, it's a whole different inyan. Or Derech Hashem, Das Tunis. The more adventurous might get to the Klach, Pesach Chochma. Really, really daring, get to Adi B'morim. But there's a sefer that's called Tav Kuf Tes Vav Tfilis. I'm sure some of you have. The Tfilos of the Ramchal. The Tfilos of the Ramchal, for me, earlier in life, and later on, Likutei Tfilos, when I discovered Likutei Tfilos also, I still use the Tav Kuf Tes Vav all the time. The tefillahs of the Ramchal are the way out of the bor. I'm just saying my own. Everybody has their own mahalach. Because gam ani cholem kemo Yosef. V'gam oti zaku labor. And every single tefillah of the Ramchal in the Tav Kuf Tes Vav tefillahs, which equals of course, the amount that Moshe Rabbeinu davened in Veschanan, in the parasha. Every one of the Tavkuf test vilas ends with the same three words. Who knows? Every one of the tefillas ends with the three words, Lishuascha kivisi Hashem. Lishuascha kivisi Hashem. And Lishuascha kivisi Hashem means that the Yeshua that comes from Hashem, and that belief that I have in Hashem's salvation, whenever that will be, sooner or later, the belief that one has in that Yeshua is a kav. Kivisi is a lashon. Many of the mefarshim tzaddikim teach us that kivisi is a lashon kav el Hashem chazak v'yamisi becha. The kav el Hashem, kivisi is a lashon of a kav. A kav means a line. And when you write something, you make a line, but it means also a chevel, like a rope, a kav. The word tikva, to have hope. Hashem tells Rosh Chodesh, yesh tikva l'achriseich. A kav, a chevel, means that as long as a person believes in l'yishuascha kivisi Hashem, that whatever bor tachtiyos you are in, and the only reason that you and I are still alive to sit Tisha B'Av, Tavshin Pei Aleph, despite the fact that all of our ancestors have been through stuff going back a long time, where there's no way b'derech teva that there should be one Jew left in the world, and you and I are sitting here right now, is because of those three words, L'Yeshuascha Kivisi Hashem, and because our ancestors and us, we, also ourselves, when we find ourselves in the Bor Tachtiyos, we're able somehow to be mischazek in whatever way, through davening, emunah, imagining, being out of the bar. All who read Viktor Frankl's books, and all the Svarma Kedoshim, to believe that Hashem is lowering a kav, a chevel, of tikva, of hope, of yesh tikva l'achriseich. And there's a whole drosha from the Ramchal that's called Drush HaKivui. Also just a few pages. Drush HaKivui. Ah. It's about bitochen. Drush HaKivui. And there's a sentence in the Drush HaKivui. V'chol ha-mekave. Any Jew who is a mekave, who believes in ropes, who believes in that tikva, in the kav, in the chevel. V'chol ha-mekave. Tfilosoi oyle b'li emtsoi. A Jew who's a mekave, and Ramchal makes the point, even somebody who's not really there when it comes to keeping mitzvahs properly, and a person also has a lot of averus, habotech b'shem chesed yisovevenu, in the context of the pasuk, it's talking about not good guys. But a person who's a mekave, tfiloso oyle b'li emtsoi, that tefillah ascends, that tefillah goes up to Shemaim, b'li emtsoi, doesn't make any stops. No, it doesn't need any malach. Lo ayde malach, elo li shuascha davka. That's why a person says, that's why it says, Yaakovino, li shuascha, not the malach, not the Rebbe, not all the other, li shuascha, kivisi Hashem. I'm going straight to the top. Li shuascha kivisi davka, the Ramchal says. Li shuascha kivisi. Kihu kav habokeya v'noikev. He explains the whole creation of the world like that. Just to remind, Rishimu Tzimtzum, Rishimu kav. Right? We'll leave it at that. Kihu kav habokeya is that kav, just like my creation. That kav, that ray of that radiance of Hashem that pierces into the tzimtzum, into the constriction, into the concealment. There's that kav. Ki kav habokeya v'noike v'oylev ad Hashem mamash. It's a kav that is bokeya, it penetrates, it reaches ad Hashem mamash. And he ends and says, hamekava afilu nichnas b'gehenim. Therefore, a person who's a mekava, afilu nichnas b'gehenim. Even if he finds himself in Gehenim, that's Bor Tachtiyos, whether it's a Gehenim after this world or it's a Gehenim in this world, whatever that Gehenim that you're in, a Gehenim that's still haunting you from the past, a Gehenim you're afraid of in the future, the Gehenim that you're in right now, afilo nichnas b'Gehenim, yoytzei mimenu. If you have that kav, that rope, like when Yosef HaTzadik was in the bor, not in the bor that he was first in. When life was good and he was living in a nice place, but he had Eishes Potiphera, that was the Gehenim of his life at that moment. And he imagined the image of his father, right? By the window. The Chanukah candle. The Chalom. Navshenu Chiksel Hashem, Chalom. The window. That window through which the rope is lowered into the life of a person who's a makavil yishuas kivis Hashem, whatever Gehenim you're in. Even if it's a Gehenim like that. Chalada chever in that Gehenim. Nice homes. Attractive lady. Yishuas kivis Hashem. The chevel, the kav of Yaakov Avinu. Of David HaMelech. Of Kav El Hashem. And this Kav is Bokeh V'noike V'oylev Oyla Ad Hashem Mamash. So this is how a person, the only way to get out of the bor, for all of the dreamers, for all of the Yosef, for all of the Yosef who want, the Yosefs who wanted and want to be tzaddikim but find themselves, to have hope in Hashem. That's the way I want to end Kinnis today. So every year at this time I share with you something that I read during the year. Many times it's something that my wife read during the year and she shares with me, because I don't have really much time that I'm able to read these things. Not that my wife has much time, but she makes the time. This is a book that's called The Survivors. The author of this book is a fellow by the name of Adam Frankel. He's obviously an exceptionally bright fellow. He was a speechwriter for a former president of the United States, who I detest. It's before Trump. We'll leave it at that. I could be canceled for saying that right away. I could be canceled just for saying that. But a smart guy, a good writer, and his grandchild of Holocaust survivors. And he writes this book, Survivors, about, it's not only about, it's his grandfather, who he adored, but it has a lot about his grandfather. There's something about it that just moved me, like the way I was talking about on Shabbos, being moved, being taken, being moved, something about it that moved me very deeply. It's not a great story, but it's moved me, so I wanted to share with the Chaver. It's at the beginning of the book. So this guy, the author, Adam, he's a Yid. It's clear that he's not Shem HaMitzvahs at all, but he's a Yid. Okay, let me read to you a couple of sentences, and that's all. In the winter of 2012, I received a call from my mother saying my grandfather needed surgery. 1 year earlier, he had fallen on an uneven sidewalk in New Haven. He lived in New Haven after the war. All the years he lived in New Haven. He'd taken quite a spill, and some passerby had called an ambulance. The paramedics insisted on taking my grandfather to the hospital, but he protested. This is exactly like my father, Olson. My father, I once told you, didn't only protest, he actually escaped from the hospital. And he did not tell anybody. The police were looking for him, and he was actually back in the store. He had a stone, what's a kidney stone, and he was taken to the hospital, and he passed the stone. He said he went to the bathroom, he passed the stone, so he left. And he went back to the store. In the meantime, from the hospital, they were looking, and the police were looking for him, and everybody was crying, and they didn't know where he was. And then my sister said, "Hey, let's try the store." And my father never picked up the phone, but the girl that worked there picked up the phone and says, "Yeah, Mr. Martin is here." That's in English, he was called Martin. And my sister says, "Daddy, are you okay?" He says, "I'm fine, Baruch Hashem." "What are you doing? What happened? You were in the hospital." He said, "Oh, I went to the bathroom. I feel better." So my sister says, you know, it's like a hotel, Daddy. You have to check out. You can't just take off the things and walk away." And he said, "No, I had a bag with my clothing. I went to the bathroom. I changed, and I was done. I don't have to stay there. I'm not. It's for sick people. It's not for me." So he said, "It's a certain type." So the paramedics insisted on taking my grandfather to the hospital, but he protested. "I'm fine, Zaid," he said, blood dripping from his forehead. Only after he signed the waiver did they finally let him go. All right, so he signed the waiver. They got him to sign. When news of the fall spread in our family, everyone urged him to see a doctor. "Get checked out," we said. "Make sure nothing is broken." But Abraham Peretzman is a stubborn man, and there was nothing we could do. Not a word was spoken about the incident. Not even a whisper of complaint from the man himself, also like my father. Until this call from my mother 1 year later. Apparently, when my grandfather fell, he had fractured one of the uppermost vertebrae in the neck, the C2. I don't know, never heard of that. I guess it comes after C1. And the break had begun healing awkwardly, putting pressure on his nerves. Is that Steve Levine? Is that true? Is there such a thing called C2? I guess so.
There's no C1.
There's no C1? Okay. I missed that class. Family began to notice him shuffling his feet. So I guess it's bad if you break that. So family began to notice him shuffling his feet. Less visible, but more worrisome to Zaidi, was the loss of feeling in his fingers. The possibility of being unable to repair watches was unthinkable. And then there's like a whole page about that's what he became after the war. He was a watchmaker. And he repaired watches. That was my father's brother, my uncle Itzu. That's what he did. And I used to go watch him. He had long, graceful fingers, my uncle Itzu. And I used to love watching him. And it's a whole description of the watch store over there in West Haven and the sign over there and all the different stuff that was going on in West Haven and how he worked at this table. And that's where Zaidi himself was always found, hunching over all these gears and springs and screws arranged on a thin sheet of paper. He is a fixture in the neighborhood regarded by New Haven scrappy drivers as one of their own. Once, many years ago, one of my aunts confessed to a customer, a large man in a leather jacket, that she accompanied her father to the store every day to make sure nothing happened, to protect him. "Don't worry," replied the man. "We look out for him. Nothing's going to happen to the jewel." The local people called him the jewel. I guess jewel, but jewel. "Nothing's going to happen to the jewel." That might explain why in all the decades he has been there, decades when violence in New Haven made national headlines, the store was robbed only once. And the guy paid for it. Anyway, Adam once was there, and he was talking to his Zaidi, was working on some stuff with all of the little parts. And he asked him, what is that? He said, there was a glass dish that holds watch parts. What are those? Junkie replies, squinting one eye around his loop, his nose barely an inch from the watch he is fixing. The smallness of the parts accentuates his oversized hands, like those of Michelangelo's David, rough, calloused hands, fingers angling out in odd, unnatural directions, hands that have toiled, lifted, hauled, and hammered, that bear the scars, the discolorations, the creases of a life of manual labor. Not, in other words, the hands of a watchmaker. The hands are one of the signs, some subtle, some plain to see, that the man in the shop has a story to tell. The accent is another, some indistinguishable mix of Yiddish, Hebrew, Polish, German, and Russian, all of which he speaks. And so is the sigh. I remember this too. It comes without warning, long, guttural, melodic, like a verse from some ancient Hebrew blessing. It suggests a sadness, otherwise undetectable in the man's disposition, a sadness that has never fully subsided, never fully been erased. Sometimes when I am with him, I'll sit in silence as the seconds and minutes tick by, my gaze fixed upon him. At the business of his eyebrows, the bushiness of his eyebrows, the pointedness of his ears, the way his skin falls over his cheeks, I'll take it all in, the time-beaten physicality of this man. And then I'll imagine the loose skin on his face tightening, his thinning hair thickening, and he'll appear for a fleeting moment as he was all of those lifetimes ago, a young man who outwitted and enchanted his occupiers and captors, Nazi and Soviet alike, when he emerged from the darkness of Dachau to reunite his family across a divided Europe. I'll squint, stare, and use all my powers of imagination, trying to grasp what enabled this man to overcome the horrors he endured, what qualities of character made him a survivor. I'll try and I'll fail, at least for the most part. I did get a glimpse of those qualities once, after Zaidi finally relented and got the numbness in his fingers checked out. Not many people visit a doctor for a C2 fracture, and those who do are typically in far worse shape. But now that he was beginning to present symptoms, the doctor told him he could expect a rapid decline. Surgery was an option, but there were no guarantees. Survival could not be assured. The operation would last 13 hours, the doctor explained, and require detaching his head from his neck to fix the fractured vertebrae, before flipping him over to complete the procedure. I don't know what that means, to detach the head from the neck. It says in Midavin by Nila, Atehiv Dalte Enoish Miroish. That's the only thing I know. Vatakirei Laban Lefenecha. Mr. Adeshitz Rebbe said during the Melchama, Atehiv Dalte Enoish Miroish, that mankind has lost its mind. Atehiv Dalte Enoish Miroish. But there is such a surgery that it's possible to detach the head from his neck to fix the fractured vertebra before flipping him over to complete the procedure. Even if everything went smoothly, the doctor added, his neck might not ever bend enough for him to look down at the watches he was fixing. That's okay, Zaidi responded. He would just place them on some phone books. So they're all crying about this 13-hour surgery. He says, no, it's not a problem. I'll use phone books. Obviating the need to bend his neck at all. I don't have to bend my neck. I'll bring the watches up to me. It's all a certain type. If you know this type, there's nothing else like this. The surgery was scheduled for December. When the day arrived, the whole family gathered in New Haven. Zaidi was outwardly upbeat, cheerful, reminding us that it was Hanukkah, the festival of miracles. And we tried to be as hopeful as he was. But an 88-year-old man undergoing a surgery as serious as this, who were we kidding? The surgeon told us the operation required an interdisciplinary team of specialists and it was often difficult to convene them on short notice around the holidays. But they had pulled it together for Abraham Peretzman. Some of them were customers. Others had heard stories about the old Holocaust survivor who fixed watches on Wally Avenue. One of God's pre-selected, the surgeon called him. We got to the hospital early to see him before he went in. Then we waited, playing cards to pass the time, until the surgeon returned in the evening. The operation was a success, he said. Zadie was alive. The surgeon had later gone home and told his family that the old man was indestructible. A couple of days later, Zadie was finally alert enough for visitors. He was wearing a halo to stabilize his neck and had a trach in his throat. Unable to speak, he was using an alphabet chart and a clipboard to spell letter by letter what he wanted to say. I asked how he was doing. He grabbed the clipboard and slowly moved his index finger from one letter to the next until it stopped on H. He dragged his finger down a row and over to the right. O. The next letter, P. Up a row and over to the right, his finger pressed. He pushed and pushed another letter, E, before his hand fell from the chart. H-O-P-E, hope. A word he first learned thousands of miles from New Haven, in a small Eastern European village called Mikalashek, where Zadie, the shopkeeper known as Abraham Peretzman, was born with a different name, Gershon Gebersky, a secret he and the rest of my family would fiercely protect until the day he died. So, Chever, that's the secret at the end of Kenis. It's a secret that you and I all know. I'm not telling you anything that we don't know. The secret of the survival of this Abraham, this Gershon, in English is H-O-P-E. In Hebrew it's Tov Kuf Vav Hey. In the words of Yom Kippur Avinu, Lishu Osa Ki Visi Hashem. That's the Kav. That's the hope that you and I still have. Every year when Tisha B'Av begins, I feel the same way that I said, that I called it, you know. What's that Zayin to Tachlis? Nachat Tisha B'Av, Nachat Tisha B'Av. And here we are again. We're saying the same words, and we're singing a couple of Nagunim. And then, you know, the Shabbos Nachemu festivities and the barbecue on Sunday and weiter. But we still come back, we still do it. With all the disappointments of Tavshin Pei Aleph, we still have our yarmulkes on, we still have our tefillin. We watch crazy things like by Shimon Bar Yochai. We hear terrible stories. We go to hospitals and we see places packed with cancer people, Jews with cancer, the chosen people. And we come back. Parishman came back. My parents came back. Your parents came back. We're survivors. Because we hope. Because even when he couldn't speak anymore, and he didn't live much more after this, even when when he was probably digging some bore someplace in Poland, wherever he was, Dachau, this old watchmaker had hope. We have to have that to survive. We have to give that to our children, our grandchildren. It was given to us somehow through the years. It was communicated to us. Somehow. It's a nace, the Yaakov Emden says, you know, House of Harbel and Golos, Rabbi Yankov Emden writes in the Siddur, is bigger than all the Nisim of Yitzhak Sitzai. It's in the Siddur of the Ivis by Tisha B'Av. It's bigger than all the Nisim of Yitzhak Sitzai. So I want to end with a song, because that's the song that we didn't hear the song, but Chanan Ben Ari's song is V'gam Otiz Al Kula Bor, but V'gam Chozer B'toch Tachpos Hedu K'mo David Ani Yosem Mizem Mizmor. This guy made a song of his life. Our parents, grandparents, other Jews, and in our own way, as survivors of something very different, we try to make our lives into songs, not just to survive, but K'mo David Ani Yosem Mizem Mizmor. To make our lives into songs. L'man yizamecha kovod v'lo yidai. So now there's a different song I want to end with. And I'm sorry, we'll finish a few minutes after Chatzais. I always tell you 12:30, we never finish before 1. I want you to have hope. Yeah. It's Tishba, there's nothing to do. What are you going to do with Tishba? Solo Koka Shmar. You heard of the song? We bezoicha, some of the chevra here. Bezoicha to be Rabbi Isaac Kalev is seeing. To be by Kalev. Most of the people here have had the schus to sit in the presence of a great tzaddik who never gives up hope, the Kalev Rebbe, Rabbi Moshe ben Reisel, Rabbi Refuah and Yeshua. I was zoicha to hear his mishpacha, his cousin, the Kalev Rebbe from Eretz Yisrael, who went through, you know, that he didn't have any hair on his face because he was operated on over there in concentration camp. And I remember, and I've told you in the past, I remember that when the Kalev Rebbe came from Eretz Yisrael, he came to Queens for a Shabbos. The signs up all over. Tzadik Boleir. This is a Maisa from 40 years ago. The Kalev Rebbe came to Queens. Any of you ever meet the old, not the Kalev that we think we know, but the Kalev Rebbe from Eretz Yisrael, you know what I'm talking about? Some of you remember. He had a voice like an angel. He was a big tzaddik, a big Talmud Chacham. So he came to Queens. There was a Tish Friday night in the Young Israel of Queens Valley, downstairs in the bar, in the basement, on Main Street, Young Israel of Queens Valley. Rabbi Steinberg's all goes on sign his shul. I told my parents that the Kalev Rebbe is coming for Shabbos. My father said, "We'll be there." My father doesn't run to Tishon. Didn't run to Tishon. Very, very, very rarely. After the Klosenberger, Amol, didn't go to Tishon. Before the war, he used to go. He didn't go after the war. So Friday night, we went to the Tish. And that at some point during the Tish, the Rebbe began to sing Solo Koka Shmar. My father stood up. All the other Hungarians that were there stood up. It's like the national anthem, you know? And they like went to another world and we were just watching, and the Rebbe was there with them, and they were singing, these 6 or 7 people. The Hungarian speakers, the songs in Hungarian, you know, the Rabbi Isaac Kalev, the first Rabbi Isaac Kalev, you know, he took the song from a shepherd. And the shepherd couldn't remember it afterwards. Because Rabbi Isaac knew that was a niggun that came from the Beis HaMikdash. And it got lost over the years and was taken to the other side. And Rabbi Isaac Kalev brought it back from the shepherd and he took it away from the goyim and he brought it back home to us. And I'm ashamed that I can't sing it in Hungarian. My Hungarian is not good at all. When I was little, I knew a little bit, but I forgot it over the years. So I'll read you the English translation. It takes a second. Be moichel. It's from the Beis HaMikdash. So let's imagine being the Beis HaMikdash. It's from the Beis HaMikdash, this song. The Levim used to sing it in the Beis HaMikdash. You don't have to believe that. No. But I believe it.
Not in Hungarian.
No, it wasn't originally in Hungarian. But the tzaddik believed that it had to be taken in that way to bring it out from the goy. He brought it out in such a way. So I'm imagining not the Beis HaMikdash. I'm thinking about my father standing there in Kew Garden Hills that night. It's a song of Golus and Gula. The sun is rising now. The rooster crows now. Near a green forest is a wide field where a bird walks around. Every word here is with Kabbalah, you understand. The Kansipa, Mashiach. What sort of bird is this? What sort of bird is this? With yellow feet and a pearl-white beak, he is waiting to go home. With yellow feet and blue-green wings, he is waiting to go home. Wait, bird, wait. Until God decides it is the right time, then you will go home. But when will it be? But when will it be? Yibona HaMikdash Yitziyon Temale. Because those are the Kalavis, those words he sang in Hebrew, right? When the temple is rebuilt, then the city of Yerushalayim, Zion, will be filled. That is when it will be. Yibona HaMikdash Yitziyon Temale. That is when it will be. Why is it taking so long? Why is it taking so long? Because of our sins, we were exiled from our land. Friday night in Auschwitz, I'm reading from Esther Farbstein's book. Sunset was approaching. This is by this woman, Fivalovich. Someone had managed to get a candle stub from somewhere. A middle-aged woman lit it. We religious girls gathered in the corner and sang Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos, pleadingly, emotionally, in heart-rending voice. In another corner, there were a lot of girls from Nagi Kalo, from Kalev. When we finished, they started singing the well-known song, Shalot Kol Gashmar. More than 1,000 Hungarian women joined in the singing to a breathtakingly beautiful melody. That's our story. H-O-P-E. It's not the same Tisha B'Av as last year. It's Tisha B'Av this year. And this year, everybody, all of us believe, Be'emunah Shleima. We have hope. That's our hope. And with all of the terrible things that we go through and read about in the Bor Tachtiyos, of how, for whatever reason, and there are deep, deep holy reasons that Hashem threw us into the Bor of Golas, Kmo David, Anachnu Na'aseh Mizeh Mizmar. Like David, we're going to make a new song with Mashiach Sakeinu. Let's say the keen of the Bobover and of Schwab and the late Sion.